Exodus chapter number 39. If you've been keeping notes with me through the book of Exodus, you'll notice that we're skipping a couple of chapters. I'm not doing that because there's nothing to preach there. I'm doing that because I've already preached on what it's dealing with, because it's the actual construction of the tabernacle. And I've already preached on those things, like the holy crown and the linen curtains and all these kind of things. I encourage you to go back and get when I preached on that, when God was giving the instructions on how to make the tabernacle, I preached on this. And then in this passage here, several of these chapters deal with the literal making of those things. And I'm coming to chapter 39, beginning with verse number 32. Now, if you're keeping notes with me, I'm preaching on this section beginning in chapter 36, verse 8. I've already preached through chapter 36, verse 7. So our study is taking us from chapter 36, verse 8, all the way through the end of chapter 39. Now, do not get used to that, okay? So it's 36, verse 8 through 39, verse 43. We're going to read in 39, beginning with verse number 32. Thus was all the work of the tabernacle, the tent of the congregation, finished. The children of Israel did according to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so did they. And they brought the tabernacle unto Moses, the tent, and all his furniture, his tacks, his boards, his bars, his pillars, and his sockets. The covering of ram skins dyed red, the covering of badger skins, and the veil of the covering, the ark of the testimony, and the staves thereof, and the mercy seat, the table and all the vessels thereof, and the showbread, the pure candlestick with the lamps thereof, even with the lamps to be set in order, and all the vessels thereof, and the oil for light, and the golden altar, and the anointing oil, and the sweet incense, and the hanging for the tabernacle door, the brazen altar, and his grate of brass, his staves, and all his vessels, the laver, and his foot, the hangings of the court, his pillars, and his sockets, and the hanging for the court gate, his cords, and his pens, and all the vessels of the service of the tabernacle, for the tent of the congregation, the cloths of service to do service in the holy place, the holy garments for Aaron the priest and his son's garments, the minister in the priest's office. According to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel made all the work. And Moses did look upon all the work. And behold, they had done it as the Lord had commanded. Even so had they done it. And Moses blessed them. Now, if you're in the habit of marking your Bible, I want to draw a phrase out of verse number 32. It's the phrase, the work of the tabernacle. The work of the tabernacle. The work of the house of God. Okay, let's pray together and we'll share this thought with you tonight. Father, we thank you for your help, your mercy, your grace, your guidance in our life. And I pray that you help our hearts to be calm. Would you steal our hearts tonight and deal with us thoroughly? Would you speak through me to these precious people? Thank you for them doing the right thing and being back in the house of God tonight. May you help us to be obedient to you. Challenge us tonight. Show us what you'd have us to see. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, as we come to this section of chapters, beginning in chapter 36, verse 8, all the way through chapter 39, verse 43, we're reminded of how the work of the sanctuary is on display for our attention. Now, in our last message, we saw how this work, because we preached on the work of the sanctuary, and we saw how that work included God's people. We saw how that work insisted upon God's enabling and how that work involved the heart of the people. Now, today we continue with this same thought of the work of the sanctuary. The Word of God calls it here, instead of the sanctuary, he changes the name to what we're used to, the work of the tabernacle in our text. Now, in these chapters before us, we're going to be focusing our attention on these closing verses of chapter 39. Now, again, the reason for this is a majority of these chapters deal with the actual construction and the making of the tabernacle and its furnishings that we've already dealt with in detail whenever God was giving him these instructions to follow earlier in this book. Now, before we get to the meat of the message tonight, let me encourage you to consider again the individual parts of the tabernacle,
when I preached on them in detail several chapters ago. You can go back and get it. It should be on the internet there where you can go and find those things. Find it where I preached on the Ark of the Covenant. Find it where I preached on the mercy seat. Find it where I preached on the goat's hair and all these other. I've already done that. I did not want to rehash that through these chapters. Now, as I was studying, the Lord drew my attention to these closing verses of chapter 39. And we're going to look at several things beginning in verse 32, going all the way down through the end of the chapter concerning the work of the tabernacle. Now, it's this work of the tabernacle that we're going to be considering together. And by means of introduction tonight, let me just challenge us all that we have a God-given work to do for the glory of God. See, just like these people had God's work for their lives, this was God's will for them to make this tabernacle, to build this house for God, so does God have a specific will for us tonight. Now, I want to apply this message to the work of this church, because the work of the tabernacle was the work of the house of God, and I want us to think about this house of God, this local church, and as we look at these things together, there's three simple things I want to share with you tonight about the work of the tabernacle that I want to apply to the work of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Let me give you three things right from the text here. Number one, we notice first of all the accomplishment of this work. The accomplishment of it. Now, this is found in verse number 32 where the Bible says, thus was all the work of the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation finished. It was finished. You know, the Lord had given specific instructions for the making of the tabernacle. He said in chapter 25 and verse number 40, and I quote, and look that thou make them after their pattern, which was showed thee in the mount. The work was a massive work to be done for the glory of God. But what a day it must have been when they could sit back and say, the work of God has been accomplished. The work of God has been finished. Now, the way the Lord spoke to my heart in this verse and in these chapters here is how these people of God worked together to accomplish what the Lord had given them to do. Notice this was not the work of one man. This was not the work of one woman. This was not the work of two men or two women. This was not the work of 10 men or 10 women. This was a work for the entire congregation. Now stay with me here. Notice how this verse says in verse number 32. Notice it now. It says after the word finished, and the children of Israel did according to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so did they. Don't you see that? See, friends, listen to this. God did not say, so did Moses, and so Moses finished the work that I gave him. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say, so did Moses and Bezalel and Aholiab. It doesn't say that. It simply says, and so did the children of Israel. And so they finished the work. See, studying through these current chapters, we've preached on this. We've seen how the people got involved in whatever they had to offer for the work of God. See, if you remember the study when I preached earlier, going through these chapters here, I'm talking about approaching chapter 36, verse number 8. Up until that point, God had called some by name, remember? I've called Bezalel to help with this. He called Moses to come up and give him the instructions. He called Aholiab to help Moses. All these other kind of things. But if you remember, some of them were unnamed that simply brought their talents to God. Some of them didn't have any skills to do the work, so they brought money and they brought an offering and they brought the materials to get everything done. Don't you see, this is a beautiful picture of how the congregation just simply did what they could do for the glory of God. God didn't ask them to do something He didn't give them to do. He said, if you can't swing a hammer, but listen, you may not have skill with a hammer, but I've blessed you with silver. Will you let go of it and use it for my work? May I put it this way? Every member of the congregation of God Almighty has something he or she can bring for the house and the work of the house of God. There's nobody that says, there's no place for me in God's work. God can't use me. That's a lie. I'm telling you that God has gifted every person in the congregation to do something for the work of the tabernacle. And may I say this to you? If these people had not have offered their money, their materials, their skills, their ability, if Moses would have refused to go up on the mountain, see, it started with him. If Bezalel refuted, I'm talking about just refused to use his God-given ability to build the house of God, it would have never been said. And so the work of God was finished. You know what I'm convinced breaks the heart of God? That there's so many undone things that is his will to be accomplished. Because people have swallowed the lie of the devil thinking, God can't use me. On the flip side, they know there's another group that says, I know God can use me, but I'm not going to turn loose. May I say something to you? It is a privilege to be involved in the work of Almighty God. And God did not gift you with what he's gifted you in to use it for yourself. He gifted you with what he gifted you with to use in the house of God. The point is, it took all these people working together as a team to get this work for God done. No one person could have done this work alone. It took some giving to God their materials while others gave God their ability to accomplish the work of God. The Life Application Study Bible, King James Version, says we all have different talents and abilities. God didn't ask Moses to build the tabernacle, but to motivate the experts to do it. Now, if you're a leader, let this speak to your heart. Look for the areas where God has gifted you, and then seek opportunities to allow God to use your gifts. If every person will work together under the directions of the Lord to do the work that he's given a congregation to do, then there's going to come a day when the congregation can look and say, it has been accomplished. It has been finished. Let me ask you a question. Are you willing to give your materials for the work of God? Are you willing to give your abilities for the work of God? Some gave, some worked, but all did something. Don't you see? Some gave, some worked, but everybody did something. Everybody participated. Then it was said, the work of the tabernacle was finished. Let me ask you a question. Is God's work worth it? Yes. I'll guarantee you one thing. His work is why we're on planet Earth. We don't have to figure out what we're doing. All we've got to do is see what God is doing and get in on it. Because what God is doing in this church, there's a place for you to get involved. There's a place for you, whether it be, hey, maybe you don't have the ability to do that, but you'll be willing to provide some needed resources to get it accomplished. Or maybe God's gifted you to lead, or he's gifted you to lead that, or he's gifted you to do that, or play that instrument, or go to the nursing home, or speak, or whatever the case. Use what God has given you and bring it as an offering for him to use any way he wants to use. May I say this to you tonight, and this is not false humility. I hope you don't take it that way, and I hope you don't think that I'm saying this, but in my mind, I'm tooting my own horn. If you think I am, you don't know me very well. If God can use me, he can use anybody in this, I'm talking about anybody in this auditorium. See, God has his marks on his people. I remember hearing a youth pastor one time saying, God marks his people. I have some marks on me. One of them is my three knee surgeries that I've had right there. When I was on my way to try to play Major League Baseball, so to speak, I don't know if I'd ever made it or not, but that was my dream. That's what I wanted to do. And God began to work in my heart, and I blew my knee out in high school football. Had three knee surgeries on this knee right here. And honestly, I look back at that time, and I say, thank you, Jesus. Because God's will for me was for me to be behind the pulpit tonight, not in spring training somewhere. And may I say this to you? He's also marked my tongue. And I know you probably get sick of this, but if you get sick of it, I'm sorry, because I'm just going to keep saying it. I'm a stutterer. I stutter all the time. I don't stutter to the kind I'm talking about where I just keep repeating myself over and over again. I do that some when I lose my place, all these kind of things. But my stuttering's more of the getting nervous around people, and especially some people, but anyway, and to the point to where I can't get a word out of my mouth. Like I've told this church before, but I'm saying it for the benefit of those who've never heard this. I remember growing up, that happened very quickly when I grew up, you know. Some of you get that catch that by freight later. But anyway, I remember when the phone rang and I got nervous around my daddy. I think I was a teenager or something like that. And I answered the phone, but nothing came out. I was just sitting there on the phone. I guess they could just hear my breathing. I'm not sure. I took the phone and tossed my daddy and I said, "You answer it." How I got you answered that, I have no idea. You say, "Why are you telling me this?" Because I believe with everything in my being that God has marked my tongue. So if somebody in this congregation says, "God can't use me," nobody has an excuse with me, friends. Because if I know that if God does not help me, I'm not speaking to you right now. I can't even get my name out of my mouth. I know what you're thinking. Lord, mark his tongue more. He talks too much. You know what I mean? What am I saying to you? I'm saying everybody has a gift that God gave you, even if it's one. Everybody has a gift that God gave you because he has a special place just for you to help make the work of God go forward for his glory. Aren't you glad of that tonight? It doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter how I'm talking about who you think, what you think you can't do. Forget about what you can't do and say, "God, what can I do through you?" Because whatever it is, if it's just materials, if it's just me making it possible where somebody else can do it, I'll do that. But if it's me that wants, I mean, you want me to do the work, I'll do that. Hey, when they work together as a team, and those who God did not want to drive a nail was content to bring the materials for the nails, and they didn't get jealous of Bezalel, and they didn't get jealous of this one, and Bezalel didn't get jealous of those who brought the money. Don't you see, it works both ways, that they had to work together, and when they did, you see the accomplishment of the work of the tabernacle. God help this church to get what I'm trying to say tonight, that God wants you to do something in this church to help build it for the glory of God. Number two, not only the accomplishment of this work, but number two, the analysis of this work. Now, I'm not going to read these verses again, but beginning in verse number 33, going all the way down to the first part of verse number 43, you can read that if you'd like to do that, if you can listen at the same time. These verses show how these people, when they got done making everything, in other words, they brought their gifts, and then Bezalel and those that were handy with their hands, they made everything according to the will of God. When everything was done, they brought everything to Moses, and they laid it out before him. And Moses looked upon it. Anybody have an idea where I may be going with this? There was a time when their God-given leader, the one who stood between them and God, looked at their work and wanted to know, did it pass the test? Now, if you don't know where I'm going with that, you've got some problems. The fact of the matter is this: Moses inspected what they did, and it revealed something wonderful, and I quote, it says that the people had done it as the Lord had commanded. Even so had they done it. You know, you can notice often in this chapter, chapter 39, that it's mentioned they did things as the Lord commanded. It's in chapter 39, verse 1. It's in verse 5. It's in verse 7. It's in verse 21. Verse 26, verse 29, verse 31, verse 32, verse 42, and verse 43. As the Lord commanded, as the Lord commanded, as the Lord commanded. Are you listening? They did not overlook anything God said to do. They completely, right, they completed every single little detail that God gave them to do. And because their work was done according to the will and the word of God, when the inspection day arrived and the leader began to analyze their work, the leader said, "Well done." What a day that must have been. The Lord spoke to my heart in a couple of ways here under the analysis of the work. Letter A here, first of all, we should submit to God's will in every single little detail. God had a specific way He wanted His work to be accomplished. He had specific measurements, specific width, length, height, specific materials, specific colors, you name it. They did not get this now. They did not have the liberty to do God's work any way they wanted to do it. They didn't have that liberty. They had God's specific plan, and they were to follow His commands completely. Every single little detail mattered to God. You know, in the same way, God has a will for every one of us here in this service. He's not turned us loose to live our lives any way we desire. Just do anything you want to do. Go anywhere you want to go. He's not done that. But rather, He's given us written instructions with how He wants us to live our life. And there's nothing that's too minor of a detail to submit to. You ever heard this? What's the big deal? You can try it once. What's the big deal? The big deal is it's against God's will. That's the big deal. And we ought to learn from the children of Israel here that they didn't bypass anything. No measurements, no colors, no materials. Everything passed the test. May I say this to you? If one detail would have been missed, they would not have passed this test. And may I say this to you as well? I know we're not perfect. I understand that. Ask my wife. She'll be happy to tell you. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. But what is wrong with trying to be? What's wrong with trying to be? This is the first thing I'm applying under the analysis that when he analyzed it, they did everything, every little detail according to the will of God. So we learn from that we're to submit to God's will in every detail, every minor detail, everything. But then letter B, this is really the main application from this second point. Our work will one day be analyzed as well. There's coming a great inspection day. And that inspection day will not be us laying our works at the feet of Moses. By the way, it'd be bad enough if it was Moses. But we're not going to be laying our works at the feet of Moses. We're going to be laying our works at the feet of Jesus Christ. And it's not going to be Moses looking at them, but it's going to be the eyes of Jesus Christ looking at them. You know, one of the most powerful phrases in this section to me is verse 43. Look at it. And Moses did look upon all the work. Who's Moses a picture of? The Lord Jesus Christ. And here there was the time when they brought their materials. The people worked hard. They made everything according to the way God told Moses up on the mountain. They submitted to the leadership of their leader, and they went forward for the glory of God. They were in unity together. They worked together. Some gave, some worked. But then it came to the all-important time. I mean, just imagine people bringing things of the altar and coming to Moses and laying them at his feet. Imagine somebody else bringing this that was made and laying it at the feet of Moses. Imagine them coming right here and bringing all the cloths and all of the colors and all the different things and laying them at the feet of Moses. And then there was a time when Moses
the Bible says, looked upon it. You know what that word look means? It means he gazed on it. His eyes were glued on the work. And he was looking, is this the way God wanted it? Can I say this to you? God's speaking to my heart right there, friends. Because there's coming a day when you and I will take our works and we will lay them at the feet of the all-seeing eyes of Jesus Christ. He knows all things. He not only knows what we've done, he knows our motives for why we did it. And may I say to you that when he looks on our works, there'll be no wrong decisions made. Let me ask you a question. Let me ask us a question. Are you ready for the Son of God to look upon your works? Now, it's quiet in here, and may I say something to you? I think it should be. I think it ought to be. This is a sobering thought. The Word of God teaches us, my friend, in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 13, every man's work shall be manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. I don't know what that fire is, but I know this. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, I think it is, that the eyes of Jesus Christ are as fire. Could the fire be, I don't know, but could the fire be the eyes of Jesus looking at our works? That's trying our works to see what sort it is. Notice it doesn't say what size it is. It says what sort it is. You say, I'm not doing much for God. If you're doing everything he's told you to do, he's not going to say that wasn't enough for me. He's going to look at the work he gave you to do. Did you do it? If it's 1, 2, or 10,000 things, did you do what he told you to do? Did you get involved in what he told you to get involved in? Did you have the right spirit, the right motive? And if you do, the fiery eyes of Jesus Christ is going to look at your works. Now, I'm going to tell you something, my friends. That challenges me. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Talking to God's children, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. If somebody says, boy, I'm looking forward to the judgment seat, you do not understand the judgment seat. Because in that same passage, I believe it is when the Apostle Paul says, we therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. What's he talking about? The terror of the Lord? He must be talking about hell. No, he wasn't. He's talking about the judgment seat of Christ. He's talking about his own judgment. And we therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we just keep persuading men. May I say this to you, friends? This is serious business. In that day, there'll be no excuses. Well, I just thought that everybody else could do it. I didn't have anything to do. You didn't give me anything to do. I guarantee you won't be saying that. What am I saying? I'm saying I can't do much, but I can do what God's given me to do. Realizing that my work's going to be analyzed. My work's going to be inspected. That's number two. Do you mind if I hurry and get away from that point? Glory to God. Hallelujah. By the way, that'll help you live the way you're supposed to live. That'll help you be what you're supposed to be, because the fire is going to reveal your works one of these days. This is number two, the analysis of this work. Are you ready for the Lord to look upon your works? Are we ready to be inspected by the Lord for the works that we've done for him on earth?
This is number two, the analysis. Then I give you number three. Not only do we see the accomplishment of the work when everybody worked together, just did what God told them to do individually and brought to God, whether it be their gifts or their abilities, and they worked together, they accomplished the work. The analysis of the work, there came a day when they had to lay their works at the feet of Moses. And Moses lifted his eyes and looked upon their works. Praise God, he was able to say, they've done it right. They did it according to the will of God. Glory day for them. And that leads me to my third and final thought, and that is this. That's the award of the work. We've seen the accomplishment of it, the analysis of it. Now let's look at the award of it. What was the award? Who is Moses a picture of again? Jesus. What did Moses do for them? What was their award for doing this work? Look at verse number 43. Moses did look upon all the work, and behold, they had done it as the Lord had commanded, even so had they done it. Here's the award. And Moses blessed them. Now, let this speak to your heart. This passage ends with a beautiful thing taking place. These people had been given the will of God for the making of the tabernacle. They had obeyed His commands. The day came when their work was brought to Moses, laid at his feet, so that his eyes could look upon it and inspect it and analyze it to make sure that they did it right according to God's will. Moses looked upon their work and saw how the people had completed God's work just as he had instructed. And after all of this, they received an award from Moses. What was it? Was it money? Let me pay you back for what you did. No. Was it their name being engraved on the side of the tabernacle so everybody would know that they had a part of it? No. What was their award? Their award was simply Moses blessed them. You know what that word blessed means? Listen to this. It means he thanked them. It means he saluted them. Look here. He said, thank you. It means that he praised them. It means he congratulated them. Get this. Their award was they got their leader's approval. And may I say this to you? That was more than enough to Israel. And may I say this to you as well? In the same way, the Lord spoke to my heart in this point, in how one day it will truly be worth it all to hear our leader, when he looks upon our works with his fiery eyes, can you just imagine if after he looks at your works and he's trying them with the fire, can you imagine him turning to you and saying, thank you? Can you imagine him saying, I congratulate you? Well done. Can I say this? I'm living for that. I'm living so that one day the blessed Son of God will look at me and say, thank you. I'll guarantee that'll be more than enough for you. Amen tonight. Do you think if the Son of God looked at you and said, thank you, congratulations, I appreciate it, well done, you passed the test. Do you think you're going to say, is that all you're going to do for me, Lord? I don't think so. Because we will know more then than we know now. And are you telling me that at the Son of God that you and I will fall down on our faces and just praise Him for His goodness and His mercy and His grace? We are sinful creatures, but He saved us and changed our life. You mean to tell me that after He looks at the works that we do, if He approves, that He's going to look at me when I should be just saying, thank you, Jesus, praise you, Jesus. You mean He's going to look at me and say, Jody, well done, son. That's blessing my heart right there, friends. And that's something to live for. Would you hear Him say, thank you? Would you hear Him say, well done? This is a passage that is speaking to me. And as we come down to a close, let me summarize what I've preached tonight. Would you let me do that? Number one, God's work is much too big for one person. It takes teamwork. Number two, it takes everyone doing their part to finish the work of God. Can I put it this way? If there's one person who calls Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church your church home, if there's one person sitting on the sideline not doing anything for God, the work that God has for Buffalo Ridge will never be accomplished. Because there's something left undone if you're not involved. It's that simple. Now you need to find what it is. Ask God to help you find what it is. And get involved doing something, friends. For the glory of God. Because if you don't get involved, something will not be finished. That's number two. Number three, God's work must be done God's way. God does not turn us loose. Do it any way you want to do it. No, we must live in subjection to the will of God. Every minute detail. Number four, our work on earth will one day be laid at the feet of Jesus Christ. And He will inspect it. Number five, let us live for the approval of the Lord Jesus Christ someday. May I say this to you? I know I've said that a lot. May I say this to you tonight? I'm just about done. If you let this thought grip you, it changed your life. If you let this thought grip you to the point that all you're doing is living for the approval of the fiery eyes of Jesus Christ, that's all you're doing. All you're living for is to be able to lay works at His feet that when He inspects them and analyzes them, they last, they remain. They're not wood, hay, and stubble, but they're gold and silver and precious stones to Him. Your motives, everything right, and something's left for Him to turn to you and say, I appreciate it. I appreciate this. And then He's going to give you some rewards on top of that. But the Word of God tells us that we know what will happen with those rewards. They will be just simply cast back at His feet. Let me ask you a question. Has God been good to you? Jesus Christ been good to you? He knows your works. Not only what you've done, but why you do that.
And he knows there's coming a day when he's going to inspect it. And tonight I feel a holy hush over this crowd. I feel a holy hush in my own heart and soul. Let us live for the approval of Jesus Christ. Don't live for the approval of your pastor or your Sunday school teacher or your mom or your dad. Live for the approval of the one who will inspect your works someday in the future. You challenged by this tonight? Well, I hope so. You convicted by this tonight? If you are, you ought to praise God for that. And I want you to join me. May we be resolved to pass with an A+ on the day when he inspects our work. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, bless tonight. Speak to our hearts. Help us to get this. Help us to get it. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. They're going to begin to play through softly as soon as they get prepared. I never want to let a service come and go without giving you an opportunity to trust Christ. Could it be that I'm speaking to somebody that if you died just like you are, you do not know that you're going to heaven? Or maybe you know you're lost. Friends, I'm talking about the judgment seat tonight. That's for God's children, and God's children ought to stand in fear of that. A holy reverence is what I mean. But my, for those that miss the judgment seat and go to the great white throne judgment, my. And hear God say, depart from me, I never knew you. The Word of God says it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. Is there one tonight say, Jody, pray for me? I'm not even a Christian. I'm not even saved. But I know this. I want to know Jesus as my Savior. I realize it is so dangerous not to get this right. And would you pray for me? This is what I need. As they begin to play through softly, would you raise your hand in the air with mine? Is there anybody like that? You say, pray for me. I need to be saved. I need to know the Lord. I need to make sure that I'm a Christian. If there is, you come. Let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel. Really, my message tonight were to believers. It was to believers. That just like they had a great work to do, so do we. Just like God had a will for them, He has a will for our lives. And just like there came the day when they put their works at the feet of their leader, there's going to come a day when we're going to put our works at our leader's feet. The fire is going to try our works. And just like because they did it right and Moses approved, Moses thanked them and blessed them, congratulated them. Are you challenged tonight to hear Jesus say the same to you? Have you tonight say, Jody, my heart has been touched. My heart has been spoken to. My heart has been challenged. How many of you, that's you. Be honest. Raise your hand in the air with mine. Boy, that's a lot of you. A lot of you. I want to invite you to come. Now, all of you cannot end up at the altar tonight because there's too many of you that responded. But even if you can't come to the altar, I want you to make an altar out of your seat. Would you do that? And let's pray, God, help us to receive your blessing some glorious day. May we hear you say, well done. I'm going to ask Brother Daniel just to begin to sing. And if God is speaking to your heart, I want you to get out of your seat and come to this altar. Would you do that? Or if you just want to turn around right there in your seat, make an altar out of your seat. Or if you can't kneel, but you just want to pray, you bow your head and pray. Let's pray together. Brother Daniel will begin to sing, and I want you to respond. Father, bless now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Daniel singing. As soon as you hear him say the first word, leave your place and come. Here he goes now. Let's go. Let's sing together. Come on, come talk to God about it.
Just as I am without.
Ask God to give you a good payday someday. Lord, may I hear your blessing someday. When your all-seeing eye sees my works, may I pass. May I hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thy will be done. Many of you raised your hand saying, God's challenging me. If God's laying it on your heart, only if God's doing it, you get out of your seat, you come, you talk to God. It's a good thing to come to the altar. It's a good thing to respond like that. Come on, come talk to the Lord about it. Ask God to help you. Through that, I'd like you to look at me just one more time. We're just about done. I'm going to sing this first verse again, Brother Daniel. But I wonder, do you mean this song? Do you mean it? Just as I am, I come. Just as I am, I come. If you come, He'll bless your life. He'll use you for His glory. Stay with it. Could I be talking to some folks that's been discouraged in your work for God? Maybe your bus route's been a little low, or maybe your Sunday school class isn't responding right, or maybe been knocking on doors for a long time and people been rude to you, or maybe you tried to witness to that relative and they just slammed the door in your face. Or could I be talking to somebody that, hey, you know what you're doing is right, but you've been discouraged, you've been down and out? Remember this passage. There's coming a day, my friends, when you're going to lay your works at His feet. And all that's going to matter in that day is what the Lord says. And I hope your desire is to hear Him say, well done. Well done. I want to ask to bow our heads one more time, close our eyes. Let's sing this first verse. If nobody else responds, we'll be done. Let's sing this together, shall we?
Just as I am without one plea, but
heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Bob would like to meet with all parents of teenagers. No teenagers, just parents, right after church down here by the organ. Let me just make that announcement. Father, bless this service. As we leave tonight, help us to keep before us this awesome, awesome truth that there's coming a day when we're going to lay our works at your feet. And may we receive your blessing like Moses blessed the nation of Israel. Thy will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here. Be back in God's house on Wednesday night. Try to bring somebody with you. Thank you. You're dismissed.